Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. Your amen is very quiet. Praise the Lord. No, that's not loud enough. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for coming today. And thank you for being here in the presence of God to worship Him. Before I preach, I would like to say thank you for what the prayers that you said for me and the family. Last week we had lost a cousin and had to travel to Butembo. And the journey was good. And we are back, and we are glad that we are back here in Goma. We have a very few minutes to share the Word of God, so I'm going to go straight into what we have to share today. It is estimated that an adult makes about 35,000 decisions every day. I want that to sink in. 35,000 decisions every day that you make. From small decisions to big decisions. Some of you, to put on the clothes you are wearing, you had to decide 4 times. Some of us, we just decide once. So what you pick is what you wear. But other people have to decide over 24 hours what they will put on. So all those small decisions. Decision to put on the mask. Decision to come over to be here on time. When you sum up all of those, they estimate there are 35,000. That's a lot, isn't it? In one single day. It is estimated that for children, it's around 3,000. Decision to play, to run around, to sit on the TV, all those kind of small decisions. Now there are some decisions that are very insignificant that we make and life goes on. But there are some decisions that we make or we take or choices that we make and they influence the rest of our lives. And why am I talking about decisions? Because the decisions you make determine the quality of your life. If we wanted to evaluate your level of wisdom, let's say we take a given person here and say, is this person wise? We will not look at gray hair. We will not look at the clothing. We will not look at where you live. We will not look at your education level. But we will look at the series of decisions you have made. And when we look at those decisions, they can help us know whether you are wise or not. So the next time you want to decide whether someone is wise, just look at the choices they've made, or the choices they are making, and the choices they are deciding to make, or they will decide to make. That's an indication of the wisdom of the person. Now, if we as human beings can take around 35,000 decisions per day, how many decisions does God take in a single day? I want them to think it. I don't want a number because I don't think we'll find it. But just think about it. How many decisions will God need to take to run the whole planet and the whole universe? It can be a lot, isn't it? And the decisions that God makes, if we say that decisions are a mark of our wisdom, as we've just seen, so the decisions we make show the wisdom. So if we look at the choices that God has made, it shows us His wisdom. So when we speak about the wisdom of God, when we speak about the greatness of God, when we speak about His holiness, His greatness, it's because we see the choices that He's made throughout history, and we see these decisions were the wisest. That's why God is all powerful, is all wisdom. Because when you look at His choices, you can only say Amen. You may not understand some choices, you may disagree with some choices that and decisions that God make, but with time, you get to understand it was all wise. Now this brings us to the topic of today. When God decided that He wanted to intervene in the world, He had to make a decision. The decision that will influence the rest of humanity. I want to intervene in the world. And the decision He made was to send His only begotten Son. Among all the choices that God could have done, I've seen some people suggest, why didn't God just forgive everyone and we just get saved? Some people have said, why didn't God just redo the planet and create another generation? We all have something to say about the choices that may God makes. But when God considered all the options, He decided that the most powerful thing He could do was to send His only begotten Son. Amen. How powerful is that decision? And then later He decided, after His Son had died and had gone to heaven, He decided that the most powerful thing He can do is to intervene through the church. That the church will be His way of intervening in the world and interacting with humanity. Our topic today is why the church? Why do we need the church? Why do we come to church? Why do we talk about church? And I want, as we talk about this, for you to remember that as God chose to intervene through His Son, through His church, that's what He considered the wisest thing that can be done. From God's point of view. You may disagree, but that's it. But we'll see in a short while why it is important. This isolation in the pandemic and confinement has taught us a lot of things. Some people had spent 4 months without going to church. Some people had spent a long time even before. And the question I was asking people about when we were in the lockdown, what did you miss most about church? What did you miss most about gathering together? And you could hear various ideas about what people miss about church. But church, if we can talk about church, it's a group of people that God has set aside to be an extension of His hand. Our time is short, and Brother William was saying that Baptists preach a 3-point sermon. So today I decided I'll try a 2-point sermon. We'll have only point 1 and point 2, and maybe I'll cheat and do the conclusion as point 3. And we'll be done. So the church is a group of people that God has set aside. And here I'm talking about the global church as the community of all believers across the world. This church also means the local church, as Sebe Kagoma Village are as your local church in your country or in your village or in your town for those who come from towns. But somehow we all come from villages, but that's another side issue. But that local church and the global church is the church we are talking about here. That God decides to choose a community of people through whom He's going to intervene. So point number 1 is that the church is God's extension to reach the world. If I wanted to go near Brother Aaron, what would I do? I would move my body and come close to Brother Aaron. If I wanted to go back to the pulpit, I would move my body and go back to the pulpit. If I want to speak, what do? I use my body to speak. So my body is what gives me mobility. Okay? Your body gives you mobility. That's why if you are sick, what do? They put you in a bed. And people move to come and see you. You are sick, I can't move, I can't do this. So when your body is sick, the whole of you is stuck. And when you lose your body when you die, you cease to intervene in the world. And a side point that you need to keep your body and you need to keep alive. So, If your body is your way of intervening and interacting in the world, what does God use to intervene and interact in the world? God has also the body. And that body is what we call the body of what? The body of Christ. Amen. Are we together? So when you think about the body of Christ, think about your body to understand it. It means that if God wants to move someplace, He will use His body. And the body of God is what? Is the community of believers. And that's why God would say that you cannot love God if you do not love your neighbor, because the most powerful proof that you can have that God loves you is when another believer comes and show that love to you. Amen. You see how important you are. You are the legs of Jesus. You are the eyes of God. You are the feet of God. When God wants to do something, He chooses a body. He chooses someone. And if we went into the Old Testament, when God wanted to intervene in the nation, He chose Abraham. He chose a person. And throughout history, God has chosen a body. Sometimes it's a prophet. Sometimes it's a king. Sometimes it's a Messiah. And this time, God has chosen to intervene through His body, which is all believers who are in a community. So tell yourself, I am part of that body. Now ask yourself in this first point, am I an extension of God's hand? Are you an extension of God's hand? If God wants to reach to someone, can He use you? If He cannot, you are not part of the church. I'm sorry to say. The only proof that this finger is part of me is that if I want to use it, I can use it. If this finger decided to do other things that I did not want, you know what I will do? I will go and chop it off. And that's what happens when you have cancer or when you have a leg that has a problem. Sometimes physicians take an extreme measure and decide to cut a part of your body, because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So the only question that matters if you are part of the church is to answer the question, can God use me if He needs to do something in the world? If the answer is yes, then you are part of the church. If the answer is yes, 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 He can use me and I'm ready every time, then you are really a valuable member of the church. That's our first point. The church is God's extension in the world. So if God is not reaching people, that means His community of believers are not reaching people. If God is not reaching your neighbor and you say you are part of the church, that means that you have a problem. Let all of us as seated here and believers across the world be part of that community of saints. That community of believers. Number two, which is obvious from number one, is that you cannot be the church alone. You cannot be the church alone. The church is a community. You are just one part of that big community. Why is it important to insist on this? With technology, with the ability, even as I'm preaching here, there are some people who are watching online. I was away last Sunday. I was able to follow the service online. I could see some of you in the service. I was very far, but I could see you. And it's possible to think that you can be alone and be the church. It is not possible. You cannot be the church alone. You need to be part of the community of believers. That's why the local church plays a big role. So God uses His body as the global church. But through the local church, He gives you an opportunity, a place to grow, a place to be perfected, a place to serve, because it's only through service to others that we can grow as believers. The church is the light of the world. I'd like to finish, before I conclude, by reading Matthew. Matthew 5. We'll read this and then I'll go to my conclusion. Someone said, never trust a preacher when they say conclude, but you can trust me. Matthew 5 verse 13 to 16. I'm reading from the African Study Bible. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But what is good? What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled under as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise the Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, last year, Didier, to keep that last verse there. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, my question is, how does God get glory according to this verse? It's by seeing the good deeds that His people are doing. So, according to this verse, if you want to really glorify God, don't sing. If you really want to glorify God, don't dance. If you really want to glorify God, go out and be the light and be salt and do the good deeds. And they say, when people will see, they will glorify the Father who is in heaven. I want us to understand this verse correctly. Because many times as believers, we fall into the trap of preaching praise to people. You need to praise God. You need to see praise. God is big. God is this huge. God has done this. We don't preach praise to people. What we do to people, we show them. We show them God's work in the world, in their lives. And the Bible says, when they see, they glorify God. So my question to you is, have people seen? When people come to Gomaville, do we tell them, you praise the Lord, you dance, but what have they seen? Because according to this verse, praise comes from what you have seen. Go out in your life and help people see the glory of God. So I'll conclude by saying, God has chosen in His all wisdom to intervene through the church. When He saw all the options, He chose to intervene through the church, to perfect the believers and to intervene in the world. Secondly, we are to participate in the church, because when we do that, we show the glory of God in His works. The believer does not have the light in himself, but the light of God comes through him. The navigators have a little book in which there is an illustration. I don't know if everyone has used firewood. If you use firewood, there is a way you arrange it. But if you take every wood and separate it, what will happen? The fire will go out, and later you will see there was a fire here, but there will only remain charcoal. Brothers and sisters, we need to remain part of this global church and be connected to the local church, because we are God's extension. If God wants to go someplace, can He use you? Can you be his feet? Can you be his mouth? God bless his word. Amen.